Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so I had this yesterday, but we ran out of time because in Florida, there is... Gators, when they run, man, they are terrifying. I don't know if there's anything more frightening than a gator that goes off like a goose. And that's what this is happening at this Florida golf course. Their players are having to dodge an angry gator who has been terrorizing people on this golf course. You know, Kane, what I was looking at on the video that Juan's showing on the simulcast? There is a legit house in the background right there. Right there. All this gator's got to do is just go around that little pond, and he's at that house.
He could actually go through the pond.
He could go through the pond. You didn't even know it. This is why I'm telling you, you cannot trust a singular body of water in Florida.
You see how fast he is?
That thing is, oh my gosh, I don't like that. Don't you? Okay, now, are gators the one that if it's chasing you, you got to zigzag, zigzag?
Yes.
Like, how big are the zigs and zags? Are we talking?
I don't know, a few feet, I guess. A couple steps.
Okay. I was just curious. I did not know that. It was actually, I think it was a Florida
person. I've never had to run
person.
Away from one, have you?
No, but it's like one of those things where I want to know how to get out of quicksand. I want to know how to not be on fire.
I know. If I'm on fire, I don't even think I would think to stop, drop, and roll.
I feel like, yeah, all of the stuff that we learned in school about, you know, stop, drop, and roll. Why? Right. Seriously, sidebar, why did we learn that? I feel like there's some conspiracy
fire,
shenanigans there.
The best way to
were they expecting all of us school kids to be set on fire? I'm just curious.
It's possible.
Because they don't do that anymore.
I mean,
second thing was quicksand. Didn't you think you were going to be in quicksand a whole bunch? Like you wanted to know how to get out of quicksand, right?
It doesn't happen often, but the chances.
This is what I'm talking about.
Aren't zero.
Do they teach Florida kids how to dodge gators in school? Like stop, drop, and roll, but zigzag, zigzag?
They should.
I'm just saying. I got questions. They have to get Florida Fish and Wildlife out to get this thing. That's how serious it is. A Florida man was accused of breaking into a car at a commission meeting when you have law enforcement there, like literally. And it was the city manager's car that this 33-year-old guy, Mark Byram, was trying to break into. He was so arrested.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arne with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
So I wanted to get in. I got to set this up. I was switching gears here. Speaking of identity politics, I wrote about this last night. And this has to do with Virginia. So you've got some Virginia State Senate. They were in the chamber yesterday. And I can't remember what it was. And this isn't important. I can't remember what it was that they were discussing. But Winsom Earl Sears is the lieutenant governor. She offended the far left because she referred to a male lawmaker as sir. And I think we have some of that audio.
17.
Yeah, 17. Audio soundbite 17. This is the, listen, this is the exchange.
The senator may state it.
Madam President, how many votes would it take to pass this bill with the emergency clause?
That would be 4/5, Senator.
And what would be the exact number for that, Madam President?
Yes, sir. That would be 32.
And then the senator that she said yes, sir, to storms out of the chamber.
The question is, shall the bill pass? Those in favor of that motion will record their votes aye. Those opposed, no. Are the senators ready to vote?
No,
have all the senators... I am not here to upset anyone.
This is her response.
I am here to do the job that the people of Virginia have called me to do, and that is to treat everyone with respect and dignity. I myself have at times not been afforded that same respect and dignity. But in this body, and as long as I am president of the Senate, and by the grace of God, I will be treated with respect and dignity, and I will treat everyone else with respect and dignity.
So this is Virginia's Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle-Sears. She offended, the people she offended were the trans activists, because she referred to a male lawmaker as sir, and the male lawmaker in question is Democrat Danica Roem, who identifies as a female and is an elected member of Virginia's Senate. And when he was referred to as sir, and you could tell, the public radio in Virginia, you can tell that these are like the remedial, singular brain-celled products of cousin-loving incest, because they characterize this as, oh, well, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, she said it with, they try to act like she put emphasis on the word sir. Now, you heard it. I played it for you. I listened to this audio several times. She was literally looking at papers and the votes coming in, and she is just like in she's talking, hearing from different senators and like going through. She was too busy doing her damn job to sit here and try to sir. She just said, yes, thank you, sir. That's it. That's all she did. That's people trying to they're trying to bully this black lieutenant governor and trying to make her bend the knee. And I noticed it was a bunch of chubby white progressive beta, probably not even baby girl boys that were writing about this at Virginia Public Radio. Yes, I'm making fun of everyone because they absolutely deserve it. So you had the senator storm out of the chamber, right? And then Democrats who control the Senate, they halted all business. They halted all business, and they were trying to make Earle-Sears apologize. And she says, we're all equal under the law. I apologize. And I would hope everyone would understand there's no, she didn't actually apologize. And Rome wasn't owed an apology either. Who are you to sit here and demand that a woman bend a knee to you, sir? You know, women Republicans supported this. This is why I always say the patriarchy is progressive. Go and look at who supported women's suffrage and who didn't. Go and look. You go and look and you come back and you tell me who supported women's suffrage and who didn't, because it sure as hell wasn't Democrats. They were the ones who fought against it. They always have been on the wrong side of every issue all throughout history, whether it is slavery, whether it is the genocide of indigenous populations here in the United States, or whether it is women voting and being able to, you know, not have to go to the poorhouse if they don't have any male relatives once their husband passes. Democrats have always opposed that. They were the ones who were out there bullying the suffragettes. They were out there bullying Susan B. Anthony and terrorizing her. It was Democrats. So no, women, because of Republican chivalry, were able to actually have that. I mean, we can be able to have our voices. We can have taxation with representation. How about that? And so, no, we're not going to go back to those days and have our speech stolen from us by the progressive patriarchy once again. No, Rome wasn't owed an apology. I wanted to share with you this woman. Her name is Patricia Stevens. She's a trans activist, and she was lobbying for women and gender studies, which is a stupid humanities course of examination that just complains about men. That's all it is. It's one of the stupidest courses you could ever waste your money on in higher ed. And she said that she didn't think it was fair that Winsome Sears used as an excuse for misgendering someone. Misgendering isn't a real offense. It's a make-believe term that is pulled from the ether by activists who desperately want some sort of leverage in the self-victimization games. There is zero offense in recognizing and verbalizing scientific fact. End of. And the beta boys over at Virginia Public Radio, they said that this is how they described it. They go, couching her apology in victimhood did not work. They were actually had the audacity and complete, apparently, self-unawareness to say that they characterized the lieutenant governor's response as couched in victimhood. It's pretty amazing. That's how they couch it. Rome wasn't an apology. But have you noticed that if it's a competition between a white man versus a black woman, usually, you know, the Democrat rules win out for the most part. But the white man wins with the left if he's trans. You can be a dude and be as abusive to any woman as you want to. If you're progressive, you can be, especially if you're trans. I just find that dynamic entirely weird. Because imagine if Roam was a Republican, just a Republican dude, and Earl Sears was a female, black female Democrat lieutenant governor. Oh my gosh, they would be up in arms because of the identity politics and party affiliation. But you flip it and somehow he wins the victimhood stakes because he's trans. They were really ignorant to Winsome Earl Sears when she was running. Just the horrible, actually legitimately progressive racist things that they said. And I say progressive because that's where it originates. She didn't owe anyone an apology. There was no, if anybody needs to apologize, it's Rome apologizing to her. You don't get to storm out because someone doesn't affirm your false fantasy self-perception. You don't get to hijack the awareness of reality that we as women have of science and gender. You don't get to storm out and demand that we give up our right to acknowledge reality, that we give up our right to free speech, to affirm your lie. Rome owes everyone an apology. He is owed no apology. The demand of an apology in this instance comes at the expense of a right. The right of a woman, or a man, really, to exercise scientific truth in discourse. So when they tell you, you have to affirm their pronouns. When they tell you, you have to affirm their false self-perception. They are demanding you forfeit a right. And it is a civic responsibility to refuse. It is a scientific responsibility to refuse. It's a responsibility to your own self to refuse. So good on Winsome Sears. And that's storming out and acting like a victimhood. That don't work. That doesn't work on me. It doesn't work on most ladies out there either. But see, again, that's a man cosplaying as a woman, playing up the sexist characteristics that he attributes to women. Have you noticed it's sexist cosplay? It's like a sexist caricature playing up these different indicators because that's what they attribute to being female. It is the most sexist theater of what a woman is that I can imagine. Cosplaying as a woman when you're a man. Our partners over at Kel-Tec, here's another thing. Ladies, go to the range with your guy. See how well he shoots. If he teacups, run for the door. Our friends over at Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. This is a 9mm carbine. It's new, and they may be like, oh, I already have it. I have one, too. I got the Gen 2. I want the Gen 3 because there's some different stuff, which I'm getting ready to tell you about. So this is innovation, Kel-Tec's innovation at its best. So previously, with your Sub 2K, you had to take your optics off to fold it in half. Yes, it's a carbine that folds right in half. It's, you know, it's like a gun origami. And it now you don't. You can keep your optics on it. And it's just a very simple twist and fold motion. It's a patent pending rotating forend in either direction. It folds it right in half and quickly and easily deploys it just as much. And that's cool. But they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. You got a lightened 5-pound pull. You also have upgraded action, a new chamber indicator, all kinds of stuff. You have to check it out. And you can find out more about the Sub 2K. It reads Sub 2000. Sub 2K Gen 3 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This actually cracks me up. So this was in Scotland, in Glasgow. Police were called to a venue last weekend because furious families apparently spent hundreds of dollars or pounds on the Willy's chocolate experience. Okay, so it was like a Willy Wonka like factory thing. You think it sounds cool, right? Like there's a lot of cool stuff you could do. It was organized by House of the Illuminati. They promised an immersive experience based on the film. And they promised giant mushrooms, candy canes, chocolate fountains, and dancing Oompa Loompas. And then when families turned up, they discovered a sparsely decorated half-empty warehouse with some plastic props, a bouncy castle, and backdrops pinned on the walls. And there was also apparently like a very deflated-looking, fully grown woman who's dressed as an Oompa Loompa who was like serving stuff from behind a bar. That's pretty much all it was. That's like, and they actually had to shut it down like halfway after it started, because not even halfway after it started, because people were so mad over it. I mean, if you're, you know, spending that kind of money, I mean, my gosh. Let's see. Alec Baldwin's trial date for the shooting death, because remember, he shot and killed his cinematographer, is expected for this summer. They say it's going to last 9 days. It's for the Rust shooting, and it's coming sooner than he might expect. And it's going to go on, about 10 days. It'll kick off on July 10th. And so that should be interesting. I think he actually thought he was going to walk on this. Warring Mexican cartels are wiping tourists off the face of the earth as they start to move into resorts. Now, I was reading there was like a shooting that took place. It was a cartel war that was in Tulum. It was like right in Tulum, which was like really popular with tourists. And there's apparently like a lot of archaeological sites to visit. Now tourists are being told not to go to those. But Mexican drug cartels, they're trying to assert dominance over an 80-mile stretch of territory, which unfortunately includes a lot of resorts. And yeah, so Tulum, I think like the whole Quintana Roo area, a little sketchy right there because of that cartel war. A man bit an officer's leg after he stole a car at a Walgreens. I thought this was a dog story at first, but it's not. It's an actual full-grown dude. It took place in Nebraska. Cops showed up to a Walgreens. A 26-year-old named Michael Dixon had stolen a car, left it running, crashed in all kinds of other cars. They struggled. He bit an officer in the leg, so he got an additional charge for that. Stick with us. We got more in store. Kane, have you ever... You don't play video. Well, you do. You never played Borderlands, though, did you?
No, I never did. I did see it played, though, plenty of times.
I was watching, they came out, if you haven't played it, it's a horribly woke game that got woker and dumber. And it wasn't super bad until like the last iteration when their main good guy character was a rainbow unicorn literally called Butt Stallion. And it's like a company that's based in Texas and they're super far left. But it was really cool gameplay. I mean, it was like, you know, an open world. It was really, you know, really cool gameplay. And we were having this conversation in our household the other day because Borderlands, imagine Occupy Wall Street and Hamas coming together and ruling the desert. And that's Borderlands. Like, that's kind of what it is. Like, it's this. And Kate Blanchett's in it. And I was shocked, actually, that Jamie Lee Curtis. The biggest thing that shocked me was Kevin Hart's casting in this film. Because Kevin Hart, I play this game. And it was, you know, it was fun until it got super woke. But basically, you go in and you're part of a crew and you're fighting against these, like, I mean, they're like domestic terrorists, you know, these Borderlands, they're like domestic terrorists, essentially, and little factions of terror groups. And it's like space age, et cetera, and you can hop to different planets and things like that. But this guy Roland, the character, he's like this big, you know, special ops dude. And Kevin Hart plays him. And I love Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart's one of the funniest people ever. He could just literally read ingredients off a mac and cheese box and he would make it hysterical and I would laugh to death. But I cannot see him in this character because Roland is like a serious, serious dude. He's very serious and he's stoic and he's huge. And then I was watching the trailer and Kate Blanchett's character, she plays this character, Lilith, towers over him. But I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's going to be. I think if they make it as woke as the game, it's not going to get. They're not going to. I think Tiny Tina is too old. The chick who plays Tiny Tina in this game is way too old. But I think if they make it like the game was, they're going to lose people because it's going to be so woke. I don't think people understand. This video game was woker than any film. The last iteration of it, the Tiny Tina's like Wonderland Adventure or whatever, was the wokest stuff I've ever seen. And then one of their nights was trans. I'm not kidding you. Like, I stopped playing it. I'm like, I can't even deal with this. It's the gameplay is fun, but I can't. But if they make it anything, and Jack Black's in it, anything like the game, it will be woker than anything that has ever been on film. I don't see anything that's woker than this. So we'll see. I don't know. But I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Gina Gershon's in it. She's fantastically cast. I think Jack Black's a good cast. Cate Blanchett, I think, is well cast. Kevin Hart's great. I'm going to see how that goes. But you're familiar with it, though, Kane. You've seen it.
Yeah, I have.
I think they're going to downplay all the wokery just to make it more palatable.
I hope so.
On the silver screen. Because it's like, why would you? That's what I don't understand about a lot of the woke stuff. Like, you're running off a significant portion of your audience that is starved for entertainment, and they would gladly pay money to go see something that's just entertaining. What do you think the Top Gun did so well? Like, the movies that don't preach about this stuff and shove it in your face, they do so fantastically well. And I know y'all like making money. Don't pretend that y'all don't. They're capitalists. They pretend otherwise. They wait until they get wealthy enough, and then they pretend to be socialists, because socialism is the indulgence of stupid, wealthy people. I don't know. I don't know what I'm keeping an open mind, but I don't know what I think about this. I don't know what I think about the game. But Cate Blanchett looks good, and her casting is Lilith. All right, anyway, we got more on the way. I had this conversation with somebody the other day because I'm a casual game player, and I think it's like a Rorschach test how people play video games. Ladies, before you ever marry a dude, play a video game with him. And dude, same thing. You might think it's weird. Actually, go on a road trip with her first. Drive with her or play a video game with her, because all of her worst tendencies are going to come out during those two spans. And guys will come out during. You're going to see how smart your dude is if he plays a video game, how well he can strategize. Okay, one last quick story. Because I was playing Darktide the other night, and I got stuck into a rando group of chicks that were, it was like herding kittens. None of them. Darktide, you have like four classes, and if you have an evenly balanced group, you have to play with three other people. Then your chances of winning, of doing well in the mission and achieving your objective go astronomically up. But if the people are stupid and they can't play their characters well and they don't understand their class or strategy, then it's a nightmare. And I was with a bunch of rando chicks, and I just wanted to beat them all. It was like Leroy Jenkins on steroids with three of them. Then the other day I was in a group with some rando dudes, and I'm like, okay, you know, yes, I'm sexist. I'm like, yeah, it's probably okay. It's a dude. It's probably going to play. Oh my gosh. No. And I'm positive one of them was a squeaker that grew up to be a male, like an adult male squeaker with a deeper voice, but he still sounded just like he was so mad, like had to get revived like five times. I'm like, I am a chick. And I was playing the psyker class. I was a glass cannon. I should not be reviving you five times. What's wrong with you? On a four level, what's the matter with you? Anyway, okay.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.